Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Chili and Shoes are a team. Chili goes undercover infiltrating criminal gangs in Johannesburg, South Africa. He's flashy and brash with a gold chain around his neck. Shoes is a conservative uniform police officer. He serves as Chili's eyes and ears when it's time to take down the bad guys. But when they finish a big job, they turn out to be stymied by corrupt superiors back at the station. They don't get the cash reward they were promised for taking down the gang. Chili's had enough. He wants to join a gang for a one-time Brinks truck-style heist. And this time, keep the money. But will straight-laced Shoes agree? The movie's called E Number Number. It's a gritty, action-packed thriller showing at the Toronto International Film Festival. It's filled with fights, shootouts, chase scenes, and an incredible finale. And I'm very pleased to have the South African director, Donovan Marsh, here with me to tell us more about the movie. Hi, Donovan.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. So you set the movie in Johannesburg, or Joburg, portrayed as a hotbed of big city crime, with Chili and Shoes as the two honest cops. Is police corruption a real problem there?
Yeah, it's a very big issue in South Africa, and completely understandably so. I don't want to be judgmental about it. Police have to put their lives on the line every day in South Africa, and a lot of them lose their lives in the line of duty, and they do not get paid well. They get paid appallingly, you know. And so it's a real ask to be a cop in South Africa, and one can almost understand how they are disillusioned. And there's a real sense among policemen in South Africa that the country owes them, you know. Not only are they risking their lives, but, you know, since apartheid changed, the government promised a lot to them, you know, that they were going to get paid better and that they were going to get houses. And a lot of them live in shacks, you know, they live in shacks and they don't have running water. And yet they're out there protecting your average South African. So that is the situation in South Africa that I wanted to capture. And corruption is obviously massive in that situation. But I think your average South African policeman wants to be a decent guy. Given the choice, he doesn't want to be corrupt, or she doesn't want to be corrupt. And I wanted to capture that conflict that the South Africans deal with. And it's not only the police, it's everybody's dealing with that conflict, wanting to do the right thing but not having the means to do it, you know, and what happens in that case.
So Chili wants to join a criminal gang for the one-time heist.
Yeah.
And the members are very diverse, but basically non-white, with one exception. Yeah. So tell me about the different groups represented in the gang.
Yeah. I wanted this film to be absolutely authentic. I wanted it to represent gang culture in South Africa as it really would be. And what happens in these heists is they often bring people in from different gang backgrounds so that they don't know each other very well, so they can do the heist and then all go their separate ways. And I thought it would be kind of fun if I really brought in sort of key archetypes from these different gangs. And they each come with their own language. They each come with their own set of expectations. They come with their own, you know, muscle and way of speaking. And it creates fantastic and very filmic conflict situations for me to unpack in terms of just a normal heist film. But it's that authenticity that I really wanted to get right. And in the casting and in the workshopping of these roles, I think I've created a gang that South Africans are really going to identify with, and you as Canadians are really going to feel, wow, this is real, this is true, this is honest.
Which brings me to my next question, which is, you wrote the script, but the people don't speak English, and I don't speak the language, but I seem to be picking up a whole variety of languages.
Yes.
How'd you do it?
Well, there are 11 official languages in South Africa, and in the movie there are probably 7 or 8 different languages.
It did sound like a lot of
languages. Yeah. But they use a slang, which is a hybrid of all those different languages. And each of the characters would actually use the slang in a slightly different way. So you can imagine how difficult it is. But this is the way everyone speaks in South Africa. This is the way people communicate. And I knew that I was going to have to use subtitles in the film in a fun and exciting way for anyone who's watching the film. There's nobody, South African or Canadian, who's going to understand this film if there weren't those subtitles. And so I've done something really fun and funky and exciting with the subtitles so that you never feel that you've kind of been pulled out of the movie because you have to read. And
they're short, pithy subtitles, not subtitles, but put right on the screen so you know what person's talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And often I don't want people's eyes to leave the performance. I want you to still be able to watch what's going on. So the subtitles are placed in really fun areas, you know. And I really try and capture the spirit of what they're saying in those subtitles.
So what are the languages that they come from?
Jeez, there's so many languages. English and Afrikaans. Amazingly, Afrikaans, which was the language of the oppressor, has been incorporated into the slang almost as a screw you to the to the old oppressors, and they've actually taken that language on and give it their own special kind of flavor, because it's a language that everyone understands, you know. And there's Zulu in there, there's Xhosa in there, there's Tswana in there, there's Sotho in there, there's Venda in there. I could go on.
Yeah, no, it was amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
So, do you think it's fair to use the 70s Hollywood term blaxploitation to describe this movie?
Depends on which context you're using it. There's the offensive way and there's the non-offensive way. I've always thought, I've loved blaxploitation movies of the past. I don't know if that's a non-PC thing to say, but I have, you know.
No, they're funny and driven and with mainly black cast.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what this movie is, you know. And there's a real strong vein of humor throughout the film, you know. And it's the kind of humor that these gangsters really use to diffuse situations and to diffuse tension. And yeah, I think it's one of the funnest parts of the movie is how humorous it is.
So there's a scene where a cop captured by a gang of thieves, held hostage, put in a chair warehouse. Yeah. The obvious reference is Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs.
Absolutely.
Or that's what people say. So was that intentional? Or?
There's a lot of references to a lot of my favorite films and filmmakers in this film. And I thought, let me take some of those situations you might recognize and see if I can do something kind of interesting and different with them and fun. So on the one level, it brings you in, you say, oh, I recognize where that's from. And then you see a new twist on it.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
By the way, I like this better than Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, really? Thank you very much.
Well, it didn't have these 20-minute long excessive torture scenes, which are just a real turn off to me. It was much more active and much more moving.
Thank you.
So, E-Number, yes. What does the title refer to?
Well, it's kind of interesting, you know, in Zulu slang, because it's quite an ancient language, they didn't have words for modern things. And so they would take the letter I and just put it in front of, like, iPhone. They would take that letter I and put it in front of words. So they would call a car an e-car, and they call an escalator e-escalator. So E-Number, they just took the word number, the English word a number, which is to do a crime or a job or a heist, and made it E-Number, and then added another number so it could sound cool, and you've got E-Number.
So the heist was E-Number.
Yeah, they call heists and jobs and crimes E-Number. We're going on E-Number now.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
One of the best known South African movies is Tsotsi.
Yes.
And coincidentally, I interviewed Gavin Hood, who's the director of Tsotsi, just a few weeks ago for his new movie that's coming out.
Yes.
So tell me about the Tsotsi connection in this movie.
Yes. Well, the lead actor from Tsotsi, Presley Chweneyagae, is one of the lead actors in my film.
He's Shoes, right?
Yeah, he's Shoes. And you'll remember that Tsotsi won the Toronto Film Festival, won the Audience Award at the Toronto Film Festival a number of years ago. So it was amazing to have a guy like him in the film. He's one of the best actors in South Africa, and he's one of the most experienced. And I teamed him up with Sodumo, who plays Chili, who's the lead, who is an inexperienced actor and a new actor. And they kind of mentored. Presley was mentoring him, you know, with his experience of Tsotsi and so forth. And because he was mentoring him off camera, they had an amazing chemistry on camera, and I think you really feel that in the movie.
Very much so.
Yeah.
There's a great action thriller. Is it going to be released in North America?
We have a sales agent in XYZ Films, and they're busy trying to find a distributor, and they feel very strongly that it's going to come. Yeah.
Because it's a really fun movie to watch.
Yeah, thank you.
Most of the movie takes place in a multi-storied warehouse, and it involves some spectacular stunts.
Yes.
How did you do it?
Well, that warehouse is one of the most iconic places in South Africa. It's the abandoned power station in the middle of Soweto. Everybody knows it. Nobody can go into it because it's been condemned. And so it's this incredible place. Actually, it's actually a bit of a death trap. Shooting there was very, very tricky.
A lot of the characters find out it is a death trap.
Exactly. A life-imitating art there. And these huge holes in the floor that you can just fall to your death, you know. And we didn't have a big budget to do, you know, huge stunts. So each of the stunts that we did were some very dangerous stunts in the film. And I think I nearly took out a few stuntmen along the way, but everyone was okay in the end.
Did you use wires?
We used wires. In some cases, we didn't. In fact, there's a couple of high walking stunts where the stuntmen said, we don't need wires and we don't need bags. We're just going to do it.
Oh my God.
We said, you know, obviously it was up to them, and they were fine. And it was great because there's some stunts in the movie where there's nothing supporting them. They are hanging there for real.
And were any added post-shooting just CGI?
We had some wire work, and so I took out some of the wire. I couldn't really afford to do any CGI, so 95% of what you see there is in camera.
What you see is what you get.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there anything else you can tell us about this movie?
I don't know what else. I think I've said more or less what I need to say. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, so thank you so much for speaking with me, Donovan.
It's a pleasure.
Donovan Marsh's great new film, E-Number, is playing at TIFF. This is Daniel Garber, the movies for CIUT 89.5 FM, and on my website, culturalmining.com.